You are now locked in to another episode of the Real Soulful Podcast with Joe Wrights.
Hey, for those that don't know, for those that already know, this is Real Soulful episode 96 or 97. I'm bugging. Yeah, man, this is episode 97. We got a big guest in the house, as always. I'm not going to introduce him. We'll let him introduce himself. So, if you want to introduce yourself, bro.
My name is Native. Native.
What a name.
A very powerful name. Southeast, you already know. I'm a rapper, an alternative rapper. I make all kinds of music. Nigerian.
Come on. Come on, Nigeria.
You know what I'm saying? 23 years of age. Right, man.
It's not like your dating profile. It's not like a dating profile.
It's my first time then. I don't know how
nah,
to.
Nah, you're calm, man. You know what it is? I feel like people are so self-conscious whenever they come on podcasts, yeah? Mm-hmm. They're always trying to, like, gauge how best to go about, you know, like, doing their thing, but.
Like a professional profile, bro.
It's just a conversation, Bridget. The same way we talked on the phone. It's literally the same thing now. Like you just got mics. It's crispy in your ear. It feels good. You get. But yeah, man. Welcome to the pod. Look, before we get into it though, I feel the one thing I wanted to kind of like touch on here, very briefly. Like, obviously, Native is spelled N-8-T-I-V-E, innit? So the 8 is a play on the word A. I'm assuming, but why an 8? What was the reason behind it?
So there's an 8-year difference between me and my sister.
Okay. Fair.
So my real name is actually Isaac.
Okay.
So obviously, because it took my mom 8 years to give birth to me, she named me Isaac, which is a
biblical reference.
So the number 8 just reoccurs in my life. I joined the choir when I was 8 years old.
Right.
I started rapping when I was 16.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's always an 8-year gap. Eight-year sound.
Is that your lucky number, yeah?
Yeah, man. I live by that number, man.
I hear it. But yeah, man, we got Native in the building. Big guest in the stew.
Yeah.
Man, it's a pleasure to have you, my bro. Can't lie to you. Like, I'm a new fan, but I'm a hardcore fan.
Yeah?
Do you get it? Yeah, bro. I'm a new fan, but I'm a hardcore fan. Bro, when I came across this guy's music, yeah, I said, nah. Ain't no way.
Hey, man,
ain't no way, man. What?
I try.
And you know, there's certain people when you listen to their music, yeah. And everyone that knows Joe, that knows me, I'm a big music head, innit? And I love music. I love all kinds of music. I'm at least into giving it a go, into like, you know, dabbling in and trying to hear the new sounds and what people are creating. So when I came across your thing for the first time, I was like, nah, man, this is music. This is music, man. Like, and I feel for me, yeah, it's always about feel first before anything. Like, I'll always take feel before I take, like, actual lyricism and, like, content, innit?
Yeah.
Because that's originally what's going to get your audience first. And then they can make up their own decision for themselves as to whether they want to continue listening. But, yeah, man, talk to me about just your musical journey, man. Where did it start for you, bro?
So, first time I ever entered into the music realm was when I was 8 years old. So, when I was 8... I used to be, you know, that little kid just running around in church.
Yeah.
My mom must have got pissed at me one day. And then, wait.
Just making noise in the church,
bro. Yeah, bro. Hella noise. My mom grabbed me one day. She was like, go join a choir. Random thing, right? I think this was like a Sunday.
Yeah.
Mom was like, you're old enough to join a choir. So she put me in a choir, right? Obviously, at the time, I saw this as a massive punishment. I was hella salty. Red to tear. I wasn't trying to do none of it. And then, obviously, as weeks passed, I became more invested in it. Before you know it, I was just there.
You were probably liking it.
Loving it. And I was the only boy in the choir.
Okay.
You had a couple of the youth there. And then you just had, because I was short. Brandon, man, I was tiny, right? Just had this little yeet. And my voice hadn't broken, right? So they put me in sopranos. Obviously, you got tenor, alto, sopranos.
Is that your key though? Is that your range?
Not anymore. But
back then it was. Alright, cool. Say that.
Back then it was.
I hear it.
So TT is now. Obviously there was a keyboardist called Uncle Sam. Well, that's what I call him. And obviously,
shout out to Uncle Sam, man.
Yeah, big up Uncle Sam. Shout out to Uncle Sam. Wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Uncle Sam. And then he was very passionate about music. He was from Uganda and he obviously taught music in Uganda and stuff.
Okay.
So then he got me into that groove, into the music thing. So I fell in love with music naturally. And then, I just sang, got better, became more invested in the music and stuff.
Nice.
obviously, come now, I turned 16. So I spent 8 years in a choir, right?
Yeah.
And I remember singing the last song before my voice broke.
Oh, man. What song was this?
Bro, it was it's by Richard Smallwood.
Oh,
Trust Me.
Trust
Me by Richard Smallwood.
Okay.
And then I came off the stage after singing that song and my voice was never the same.
No,
the same. That was my last shift as a soprano singer.
Retirement early.
Retired. But obviously I had love for music, so I was thinking,
yeah,
what's the alternative, right? What do I do?
Mm.
So then I remember, right, I was on the toilet, right? And I was like on my phone and I type in YouTube,
yeah,
best 90s like rap songs, right?
Okay.
So I just go onto it and I'm looking at people like De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest,
yeah,
Eminem,
yeah,
all these OGs, and I'm just thinking,
this sounded cold.
This okay, is cold,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah.
So the first thing I ever did in music was just recite other people's lyrics. Like, I used to know all of these 90s rap songs off my head. Could tell. Loved songs. My favorite band, favorite group was called The Far Side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a hit song called Pass Me By back in the 90s.
Nice.
And
it
rinsed that. Used to bang song out.
I feel like everyone that gets into music always has their one particular like birth song that gets them into hip hop, innit? I remember mine for me, yeah, the first ever song I heard proper that got me into hip hop was what's his name? I think it was either Jay-Z's Can I Live.
Okay.
Yeah, it was either Jay-Z's Can I Live that got me into like proper hip hop, yeah.
Mm.
Or it was Kanye West. Like the first time like I heard Kanye properly, like when I was a proper like digging into the crates kind of thing.
That's mad.
When I heard Hov for the first time and someone put me on Hov, shout out for it, because he kind of introduced me to like Hov properly.
Mm.
And I listened to Hov, and then from Hov, like it's just like a whole spiral of other works in it from other artists. Mm. But I was like, rah, this is hard.
Mm.
So I feel like everybody's always got that the intro song that gets them into hip hop, innit? And I feel like, yeah, man, it makes sense though. It makes sense. And do you feel like that intro song was kind of like the birthing of your style, or at least just an introduction to the type of music that you was on trying to make? Or was it just for the fun of like it just sounded nice, so you was like, yeah, man?
It was an introduction to my character.
Okay. As an individual. First.
Like I heard that song and just something within my personality just changed.
Mm.
It was like I became someone who was a bit more like,
I said reborn.
Yeah, like literally. Like,
yes, I hear it.
I felt like I was blank before that song.
Bro.
And then all of a sudden I had this cheeky,
suave
talk, because that's what the father said used to do. They were like quirky alternative.
Mm.
So that's when my personality kind of shifted towards that.
Yeah.
I became obsessed with it. Love 90s. I was just that 90s kid. I had a high top that was long because of Kid and Play.
Hey, yo.
Bro,
was rocking the house party look, bro. That is too funny.
Bro, when I told you, it was the most embarrassing phase of my life. But I thank God for it, because it gave me so
every man had the high top phase, man. Even me as well, bro. When I got to year 11, I said, yeah, this can't run no more, man. It's quite hard to you. And it's so funny about high tops as well. Yeah. You know when you get to be like, I feel like as you're growing, your head shape is like taking form, innit?
Because
when you're younger, you could kind of pull it off because it's a cute look.
Mm.
But when you start maturing, you look like a big man.
Yeah.
You got high top on your head. It's like, oh yeah, man. This ain't, for me anyways, this is, I was like, yeah, this ain't it, man. And Bearman kept saying, yo, Joe, cut that shit off, bro. Like, there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
And I wasn't listening for a while, but I may have, but I don't know, that's funny still. That's funny. But yeah, so that was like your birth, yeah?
That was basically my birth.
I hear it.
And then, I don't know if you ever heard of an artist called DC, in DC.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a council flat with DC.
Swear.
That literally, we grew up together.
Crazy.
So I remember, this is the funniest story you'll hear. Like, I remember DC must have came to a church service.
Yeah.
And I had a performance, right?
Okay.
So obviously, imagine me in my 90s boy phase, everyone's looking at this church child, like, what the hell is this guy doing? So I must have had a performance on the stage, right? And this is me being vulnerable, right? I used to rap in like a 90s accent.
Fucking
at the time.
What, as an American?
I kid you not.
Boy, innit? So, I can give you grace, because I feel like every kid is mad impressionable, innit? So
yeah,
you're always going to have, like, even me, like, for example, me, I was really big on Nas, innit? So even like as a poet, the way I used to write, like, man was trying to do the Nas type of, and I was like, bro, this ain't you, man. But yeah, it's calm, it's calm. We'll give you grace, we'll give you grace, we'll give you grace. It's calm, it's calm.
I beg for forgiveness from
RT. It's calm, man.
So obviously after the church service, DC DC goes to me, hey, listen, you'll never blow it, didn't
you? Need a friend like that in music still.
Ah, bro. At the time, yeah, that shit crushed me.
Yeah, man. Said, so you can never make it.
And then, but it's not like he just told me I was dead. He called me. Yeah. We had a phone call conversation.
Yeah.
And this was before, like, this was before he blew up because he'd done a freestyle called Local.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
He sent me a couple freestyles, right? He sent me a...
Of his or of people in general?
Other people from like 2008.
Fairs.
Sent me a freestyle of Wretch, Wretch 3-2, Getz, yeah. And there was a group called Marvel back in the day. And it was a Tim Westwood session.
Okay.
And he showed it to me. And then that was the day that my whole style just shifted into like a gram thing.
I know, like, I hear it as well. Like, I hear it even till now. Like, I hear it still.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense, man.
So it completely shifted into that grime thing. Yeah. I studied it. I wrote some cringe freestyles back in the day that were off.
Everyone's got bars on their notes, man.
You get what I mean?
You're lying if you say you ain't got no bars on your notes, bro. Everyone's got bars on their notes, man.
Bruv, I was writing. It was kind of like trial and error. Mm. Like, that was my process when it
kind of figuring out your sound and like what worked and what didn't work.
Exactly.
I hear it.
And then because I had the influence of the 90s and the way they used to sample back in the day,
yeah,
I managed to merge something that I used to love as a kid and something that I had to do.
Yeah. Together.
Mm. And then that's how my individual sound came about.
Nice, nice. And how was people receptive to you, like, taking music seriously? Like, I'm pretty sure. Well, let's start from our guy at the top. So your parents now, knowing that obviously this is something that you want to take serious. Is it a thing where, you know, there's a very strong stigma of Nigerian parents and like anything that's arts related.
Mm.
And like, I don't know if you had a conversation, if you tell your parents that you're on music full time.
Are you talking about now or then?
Now. As in, like, now? Telling them that this is what you're doing. Because I'm assuming that's what you're on. You're on music full-time.
Yeah, I'm on music full-time, don't worry.
So,
it was interesting. So, I already had a set plan when I went to uni, right?
This guy said he figured it out.
Yeah. Like, I had a set plan. So, I was like, I'm going to go uni. Obviously, I studied civil engineering when I went to uni.
Nice.
But I'm intelligent, but I'm not book smart.
Okay, cool. As in, you can get it done. But it's not like
I managed to bath myself into uni and stuff, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna be here and I'm gonna network with as much people before I leave this place.
What uni was this?
Coventry.
Oh yeah, MBA saying, yeah, cool.
That was a fun journey, man. That was a good time.
Shout out Cov Mando, man.
You get me?
Boy. Hey, what, reminiscing, yeah?
Oh man. I wish I could go.
Oh my days.
But obviously I went to like open bars, open mics, retetere, performing.
Nice.
And I remember my first performance when I went there. It was I saw a flyer for open mic.
Mm.
And one thing about me is I'm not shook. Like when it comes to performances,
You don't really get nervous?
I don't. I get really nervous, but it kind of brings out some form of like, I don't have to say like,
Do you get what I mean? I hear it.
So, yeah, I had the open mic one day and I remember I came hella late, right? Because I couldn't find the place. And obviously, this was like within the first 2 weeks of uni. So I had no idea where I was mapping myself to figuring it out. So I come last and obviously everyone's about to cut. And then the announcer goes, we have one more person left. And obviously everyone's like, man, come off the stage, man. So I was shitting myself. I was like, right, all right, cool. So I go on the stage, I apologize. Like, oh, sorry for being late, man. Yeah. I couldn't find the place or retetere. So then I play an instrumental that I found in YouTube. And obviously, I remember I was wearing a Puma trackie. I still had a little bit of like a high top, but I sponged it.
Flip it off.
I had TNs, right? Yeah. So I just start spitting. And to me, this was such a normal thing. Like spitting was just a calm thing. So I'm spitting. Then the song's done. And then I just put the mic back on the soundboard.
Yeah.
Like literally just back on the soundboard because I wasn't expecting a reaction. Everyone goes crazy. I'm like, right, okay, at least I'm decent. You know what I mean? Like,
good reception.
Then they start saying encore. Like, this was peak because I didn't really have spare bars like that. So I'm here scratching my head.
This is all I got.
Yeah, I was like, this is all I had to offer at the time, innit?
So, this is all I got, man.
I remember I had like one spare like set of lyrics.
Yeah.
And I just managed to baff like half of that because I had to pull it out of memory.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, cool. Thank
you. You know, try cutting the humble thing.
You get what I mean? Like, thank you.
You try cutting the humble thing.
Yeah.
Hey, that's funny.
And then, when that happened, that night,
obviously
people asking me for socials, I start giving it out to everyone.
Nice.
And before you know it, I got invited to an ACS performance, performed there. People went crazy. People are so.
So whilst you was at uni, you was really building your network and trying to get people to kind of, because I feel like those are the impressionable years, especially when you get to university. Yeah, like a lot of the time, that I feel like a lot of people can say, you know, outright that three or four year experience is like what probably shapes their personality
100%.
Going into later life, and the kind of friends that you make. So it was nice that you were kind of breaking your foot in through the door and getting people to recognize you and rate your thing a little bit.
Yeah, man.
I'm assuming that built up enough confidence because now, look at me, baby. Do you get it? Like, we're here, man. And like, I feel like for those that haven't taken in your sound before, you definitely should. How would you describe your sound? What would you say your sound is like?
Oof.
What's the fusion? Because I've seen a bit of everything now. Well, not everything, but I've seen the core foundation. I've seen the elements in it. But to someone who ain't listened to your music before, like how would you describe your sound? What would you say your sound is?
I make so many various different types of music that is so hard to explain. Mm. But I like to describe it as a fusion of genres.
Nice. Okay. Right. Okay.
It's always gonna. I always take references from something else.
Yeah.
So it's always a fusion. I might get inspiration. For example, I went to Colombia for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I fuse like grime and bachata, which is nice. A genre. Yeah. Or, do you know what I mean? I just always fuse genres.
Nice.
It's mostly rap.
Okay.
But I do sing in some of them. I've got a nice couple singing songs in there.
Yeah, for the ladies and them.
For that, specifically for those. You get what I mean? For them and them.
The ladies, they need something as well, man. They need something as well. I hear it.
Yeah. I have like alter egos when I make, because I make so a large variety of music.
Yeah.
I have alter egos.
I see.
So I've got Native, which is just rapper.
Yeah.
I have Warlock when I make like Afro beats.
Nice.
Retete.
Yeah.
And then I have Babyface when I make like Sweet Girl Tunes.
Swears.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man. How's the music journey been for you so far? Like, what would you say is your current takeaway from everything? Like, what are you enjoying? What's the process like? Because you know, there's a whole thing about you can't keep giving people studio time, man. Not everybody's deserving to be in the studio. And I rate people that want to take music on full time and want to be in the studio. And I feel like there's a very key element in like making sure that those who pursue music, even if you're not necessarily good at it from the jump, you can get better. Don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But I feel like you're always going to be able to know who's got that raw talent to work with, innit?
Mm.
So for you, getting into the studio and like getting that, like you said, that kind of like recognition from people that you are good and you did have that raw talent. What's the journey been like for you? Like, has it been something that you've really had to be like, rah, okay, this ain't as, not necessarily easy, but the recognition probably I was getting at uni and maybe now the kind of like recognition you're getting now, or even the criticism that you're getting now, like how do you take that on board? What's the overall just journey like being a musician? Like, especially one that's in your genre, as you say, that's a fusion of everything. Are you experiment? Because a lot of men are limited, man. So certain man can only break certain ceilings, you get it?
Yeah.
So when you're fusing music together, and you're trying a variety of different sounds, like it's taking you out of your comfort zone. So what's that like for you?
Oh boy, that's a big question.
You can break it down.
All right, cool. I'll start with where I am now.
Yeah.
So in terms of referencing other people who got like talent and stuff, there's a lot of factors that go into making music.
Mm.
I think the biggest one is your friends.
Nice.
Your friends are the biggest factor behind your music.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'll tell you that is because it's either you have friends who tell you the truth or you got friends who lie to you, innit? Where it all starts. I'm telling you.
That's the basis.
I'm telling you, it's the basis of everything.
I hear it.
Are your niggas gonna lie to you?
Or are they gonna tell you the truth? I hear it.
If they tell you the truth, then you have there's a big opportunity of you succeeding.
Yeah.
If they lie to you, it's peak.
I hear it.
is peak. I've seen so many examples of that happening.
So,
bro, I'm telling you, bro. Okay. It's even worse when you walk into a room. So let's say you even bag an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. Somehow.
Cool.
Your niggas are telling you, yeah, this is hard. This is hard. You go play that to an A&R.
Jesus.
You put yourself in a situation where the A&R's looking at you.
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
Bro. And the thing is, A&R's won't even tell you that this is shit. They'll just look at their phone whilst the music is playing like this. They'll just be buffing. I don't know why A&R's love doing this.
Oh, so
do you know what I mean? Bro. Because they don't want to, they play a poker face because they don't need to know whether they're interested or whether they don't like it. So they'll always play a poker face, innit?
Okay.
So they'll be there jamming, as it's happened to be so many, they'll be there jamming. In their head, they're thinking this is shit. But it's jamming on their phone, pretending like they're not paying attention, bro.
Oh my days. Is that the trick, yeah?
Bro, that's their trick, bro.
Fuck it, oh, bro.
The phone. When you see the...
when you see A&R grab a phone, just know your time's done. Say thank you, shake the hand and cut, man.
Bro, with A&R, you never know what they're thinking.
Sit down. Man, you're saying it starts with the friends, first of all.
Basis is friends. Mm. After that, it's research.
Mm.
You cannot be hard in music without doing your research. It's impossible.
Still. I hear it still.
Do you know what I mean? You need to know who came before you, who came before them.
Mm.
You need to go all the way back because...
Very big emphasis. Obviously, I'm not a musician myself, but I feel like those who have been great or those who are becoming great, like you can tell people that study music and like breathe music. And it doesn't even have to be from like a... from a theory perspective, where like knowing like counts and things of that nature. And that's actually because everybody's not really musically inclined in that way, but at least researching what your genre is about, like the people that are in your genre, how they've like succeeded, what they were doing right, that kind of thing. I feel like a lot of people miss that mark when it, because you just see a man that want to just grab a mic, do a freestyle, do something that's trendy, or you know what? So I feel like the basis of most things, yeah, when you see a lot of people who break into the music industry, is usually a lot of the times often through some sort of like viral moment.
Yeah.
And that gives them enough recognition to be like, okay, cool, like man could actually take this seriously. And for some people, that's a really, really good boost, isn't it? Like you've had an opportunity, it's gone viral, you've broken your way into the industry a little bit, and you can, you know, you could capitalize from that. But then a lot of times it's like, oh yeah, people necessarily just found it funny or interesting at the moment, but now you feel like that's enough basis for you to like jump it full time, and you actually haven't done your research enough, like you said, into like, okay, cool, what am I getting myself into? What's this genre that I'm really trying to, you know, break into? How do I go about it? So I feel like research is a big one still, man. It's a big one still.
Research is a big one.
So how long would you say it took you researching like, kind of like your style, your genre, like your...
Oh, boy. Boy, oh boy. I'd pretty much say since I was 16.
So done.
And I was lucky because I had an interest in this thing beforehand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was already banging out 90s music and listening to all of these things. And obviously them, man, in the 90s were already listening to all kinds of stuff, which influenced their music in the first place.
I hear it.
So, and I also listened to gospel music. Yeah, so I already had an array of music that I was listening to without being forced to, having to force myself to go and do it. But like one thing I always say when it comes to researching it, right, is if you don't, you cannot be better than a person who's done their research. It's impossible.
Facts.
Because they just know more than you.
Facts.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like even the processes in the studio, the technicalities, the terms.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I started early out, I couldn't even express the terms of like, oh, could you add this to it? Could you make it sound like this? Could you push it to like, could you make it like on the sides and could you make, bro? And producers are looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about, my bro? And because obviously I've done my research and I've heard these kind of sounds. I just don't know how to explain.
I see
what it is. For example, if you want to have something that sounds like it's in a concert room, call it reverb.
Yeah, yeah.
You got what I mean? Like, I love reverb.
That's your bread and butter.
I can't do a song without reverb in it. Reverb is life. I can't. It's impossible for me.
I said it's life. I hear it still.
Love reverb. So you just got to do your research on these things, man. I feel like a lot of the new age artists, they don't do their research, man. And even me, that like I might know a bit or know more than enough.
Yeah.
But the mentors that I have, they're always telling me, listen, you got to go
keep researching.
You got to keep researching, man. This is what made Michael Jackson so good.
Broski.
He literally researched.
He breathed music, bro. He breathed music. And I feel like it gets annoying to some people as well, because it's like, for you to be that dedicated to something, for someone like any goat that you know in any industry, there's almost an obsession with like what they're interested in. Just get to the point where it's almost like people even question it, looking from the outside, looking like, raw, like, how can you be so obsessed with something? So I feel like those that really, really want to embark on music, not even just music, just anything that you're interested in, whatever the case may be, like, there has to be a level of like an unhealthy obsession with what you're into, innit? And I feel like, maybe that's the thing that you're tapping into, that a lot of other people are tapping into, people should be tapping into, if you definitely want to get into this music thing, because it's got to be an unhealthy obsession for you, man. What are your inspirations though, like music wise, artist wise? Who would you say kind of, who's the Mount Rushmore for you?
Depends from where, man. Like, what country you're talking about?
Who's the Mount Rushmore? Just your Mount Rushmore, isn't it? Like who are you placing on a pedestal high enough to be like, rah, these are the major influences for me from a music perspective.
Alright,
if you had to boil it down,
Kanye.
Alright.
Kanye.
See, this is why this nigga is my guy, bro. This is why Nave is my guy, man. He knows.
Kanye is one of the greatest. I do not agree with any of his opinions or his views. Just gonna put that out there. But he is someone that I like to describe as having musical instincts.
Yeah, bro.
Like he's a visionary, operates still. Purely on instincts. Like, it's such a rarity to have like something like that. Yeah. If it doesn't even feel right to him, he won't do it. We don't have a lot of like artists nowadays who feel like that.
Mm.
For a lot of artists, it's a lot more technical.
Yeah.
Like throwing a sample, but he might just take something, completely flip it, reverse it, chop it up, and turn it into something else on the spot.
Yeah.
Just because it feels right to do so.
You know what I mean? I hear it.
So Kanye. Definitely your OG. Another one is Marvel.
Marvel.
So Marvel from obviously they were 2008 grime group back in the day. There's a guy in that group called Double S.
Okay.
They call him the Flow Father.
I see.
Literally, if you look at the way I rap and the way that I have like my rap schemes and all this stuff. It all traces back
to him,
to that guy.
Fair enough.
I learned like most of my grime cadences from him. Okay. He is just one of the hardest spitters I've ever. And the thing is, he's so cheeky with it.
Even
the way he talks on the microphone.
Well, almost effortless in a way.
Bro, man will just be shelling it on the microphone. But he doesn't have the typical aggression kind of grime cadence. He has such a cheeky, sweet boy. And that's the reason why it resonates with me, because I ain't on piss. I'm not a bad man. I don't do no violence. I'm a law-abiding citizen. You get me?
Like, I hear it still.
Yeah. So like I needed some way to channel the way I feel.
Yeah.
And obviously speaking about the things I've seen through a cadence that matched me the most without trying to sound hard, talk crud, or do anything like that. So when I listened to him, I was like, all right, cool. This is the way I'm going to do it.
First.
And then DC, obviously.
Come on.
You know, he taught me most of the rocks when it came to the music thing, to be fair. And the thing is, I swear, I can only count on my hand how many times we've had a phone call conversation. But the advice he would drop me would be so
It'd be monumental
key
still, yeah.
That it would change my whole perspective.
You need guys like that, man. Hold on, give me one sec.
Yeah, no problem.
Gone.
Yeah, so he would just drop me like massive pieces of advice.
Yeah.
And then he would just disappear. Yeah, he would just disappear into the midnight, never to be seen until the next time he falls. That's how he's always been. So yeah, man, that's that. One thing I do like about this new age of music coming, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's like a
resurgence.
There's like a crazy new generation coming in the UK.
The creative scene, in the UK right now, like, I don't think I've ever witnessed
anything
something
like it, on
my life. Like, it's actually a renaissance, bro.
Bro.
Like, there are so many people doing so many amazing things. And it's not even just music related, just creativity in general. Like, I'm actually astounded at like, the amount of, like, just like vision that people have for certain things, innit? And like, like obviously we've had personal conversations on the phone, and I've just told you, like, whenever I'm around people that I can feel that are like super creative or just super interested in what they like, they're into, it gets me going, innit? Because it's like, raw, like, you are seeing something that's so abstract, or you're seeing something that someone's seeing, but you've made it completely like your own way, to the point where it's just like, like,
hey, AI friend.
Sorry, bro. Yeah, like you like, they've made it in a way where it's just like they are so, it's just everything's just flipped on his head, isn't it? And it's just like, raw, like, how did you see that kind of thing? Yeah. Do you get like, where did you have to go to see this product that you finally like put together? Mm. I feel like, yeah, the creative scene right now is crazy still. Can't lie, bro.
Fam, when mad. I told you, like, there's artists that I've seen, right? For example, Jim Legacy, Zeno Vinci.
Yeah, Jim, yeah, Zeno, they're cool, man.
So I've seen, like, I've heard the kind of music that they've produced, and I'm like, rah.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, how did you get to this point?
Mm.
Because one thing about the UK is that they struggle to open up to new sounds and new, like,
as in, if it doesn't sound like what we're typically accustomed to,
if it doesn't sound
weird,
familiar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I do hear that though. I do hear that for sure. Yeah.
Then it's like, nah, we're not really trying to hear it.
Yeah,
when I first heard Jim Legacy, one of his songs, right, I was like, this is mad. This is mad.
It's almost like it's not making sense, but it's making sense.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, rah, this is mad. Yeah. Like,
I hear it still.
Because obviously I make weird music innit? It's like, I rap, but it's not the typical kind of, I will rap on the weirdest stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But his music, right, and the way he sings and his cadences and everything, I was like, the reason why I know that Jim will be great is because if you can come out with a sound like that fearlessly, it means you never cared what other people had to say.
Facts.
In the first place. Because I know there was people who questioned it.
Probably tell them, like, yeah, this don't sound right.
This don't sound. I know that, trust me, because I've been there. I know people doubted the sound.
Mm.
And then he carried on with that. He believed in it. And now he's obviously bearing the fruits of his labor, which is why I fuck with it so heavy. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? So obviously, it kind of, when I see him and then I see all the other guys that are coming, like Zeno and stuff, it feels like there's clans, like little clans in the underground scene building up right now.
I hear it.
Obviously, I got me and my tribe. Jim Legacy's got his people. Yeah. Zeno's got his people. Samson's got his people.
Yeah.
And it's like, all of us are rising in different ways, but just as strong as each other.
I like that, man. I like that. And I feel like there's also a lot of camaraderie between you lot. I would like to assume anyways. And I feel like that's very, not that it's rare, but it's very hard in the music industry, like, being pally-pally with everybody, because like, everybody's trying to fend for themselves. And at the same time, you also got to be careful of like, the type of crowds that you mix with and the people you mix with. And sometimes people ain't even trying to give other people a helping hand or lift other people, or like, you know, plug an X-Man into certain, this sound, contact, whoever the case may be. Like, there's a, rightfully so, there's a certain level of selfishness that I think you have to have in the music scene.
Yeah.
But there's also a level of, like, you know, people are also on the come up as you.
Mm.
And if you're in a position of power where you can at least help that person, whether no one's asking for a record deal, but if you're able to just, you know, connect a man to this or link a man to that, like, people don't take them type of stuff for granted. And I feel like that is the type of relationship that I would hope is happening right now within the music scene, you know, that people are helping each other out where they can. And it goes for other creative scenes as well, like podcasting, videography, photography, whatever the case may be, whatever industry you're in it. I feel like, obviously before we started, you were talking about, like, you know, being in positions where you want to be kind of contributing to people who are on the come up as opposed to people who are already there. Mm. Why do you have such a strong emphasis for that, do you think?
Wait, sorry, repeat that question.
I'm saying, like, you were saying, yeah, that you're on like helping those who are on the come up as well. Like being a part of people who are on the come up, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, where does that come from for you? Is it because, like, you feel like those who are already up there won't benefit from it much, as opposed to the little man, in a sense?
for me is my, so my passion for music is disgusting. Yeah. And I've always believed if you really love music, you want to see it evolve.
Mm.
Like, that's why I care about people underground, because I want to see what they do with music. Do you get what I mean? Mm. Like, I want to work with who's on the come up. I want to work with new sounds, not what's already there.
Cool.
So obviously, so I drill, man.
Where you go?
Everyone has their opinions about drill. You feel me? But I think the time for drill is a bit done.
It's done. You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what happened? This is my theory of drill.
Give me your thing, bro.
So obviously, 016, us lot, obviously, when we was at like the parties and that, drill was the wave.
It was the wave still.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Drill, but if you were doing drill, it means you was actually about drill. Do you get what I'm saying?
Fez.
These men actually lived the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously, over time, drill's obviously become more popular.
It's more commercialized now.
It's more commercialized. Yeah, for sure. And it wasn't even too bad, right, when it started becoming commercialized. But then people who weren't actually living the lifestyle, we're now producing
drill. I can't lie to you. You see this thing you're talking about? I feel this is one of my biggest peeves with music, yeah. And this is why, no, be my team, because when I listen to circular, like particular rappers talk crud, I know you ain't done this, bro.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And I can feel it in the music as well. Like particular rappers I listen to, like for example, Conway, or any of any like proper gangster rap, I know these niggas are doing what they're saying, innit?
And
obviously I'm not doing what they're saying. But because they're doing what they're saying, there's a bit of a, you know, like I hear what you're saying. Like,
do you get?
So I know that there's particular artists that are feeding off that kind of vibe when they're not really on that. And it's like, yeah, man, this ain't you, bro. This ain't real. And I feel like, yeah, that's probably another thing that's maybe you're talking about in regards to like commercializing. Like people that aren't really on drill, talking drill, it don't mix.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So what's even happening now is like, I wouldn't even call it the drill that we're listening today. It's not drill.
It's not drill.
It's not drill.
It's not drill.
It's something else. It's not, I don't know what it is.
It's not drill.
But it's not drill.
It's not drill.
You get me? It's become like a, some commercialized kind of rap thing that I'd like to, I don't even know what to call it. So that's what it's become now. And that's not necessarily a problem.
No. It's trend, unit. And with trends though, over time it dies, isn't it? So at some point, yeah, you got to say like, raw, when is the jig going to be up with this?
My problem with drill,
is
it's not even, people are not producing unique drill.
Okay,
that's the problem.
But I think you can't really produce. You can produce unique. You think people aren't producing really unique drill?
Nah. What's happening now is that people are taking samples from back in the day
and just flipping them
and stitching it into drill. There's nothing unique about that.
All right, cool.
Me, this is my personal.
No, I hear it. So, there's a. Yeah, because even I remember back summertime, people were complaining about this idea of like TikTok songs. People making songs that are TikTok-y in a sense, like for the trends. And there's a marketing aspect of that that's fine. But I feel like when you're trying to take your music career seriously and you want to build a catalog, you got to remember like, raw, like this is what man are gonna remember me for, kind of thing. So that's a key point, but. Let's get into your music, man. Let's get into your music, because listen, those that don't know, when I say this guy is special, big man thing. No, I'm not even trying to guess it, bro. Like Nate, you're one of a kind, bro. And I feel like I said, I resonate with people so much that have a particular sound in it. So cool. First time I've heard Native now, seeing him on the screens, I'm thinking, who's this, bruv? I seen a little trailer. I said, huh? Hold on. Spin it back. So I listened to On My Way, innit?
Yeah.
First thing that caught my eye was just the visual aspect of it. How it almost felt like a sitcom. You know that kind of vibe where like cameras are panning and like you're moving from room to room, but it's all within the same. Like every room is a different part of the house, but it's all like one structure kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just gave me this like kind of like homey feel, and I feel like obviously that was the vibe in it. So I'm gonna play On My Way. Yeah, I'm gonna play On My Way. Just ignore the adverts for the second. Don't worry, I'll edit this in post. Well, yeah. Before it plays, talk to me about On My Way.
So the way On My Way came about is actually quite funny. My team must have told me, yeah man, you're gonna drop a video.
Okay.
And we didn't have a song.
Yeah.
So I'm the kind of person, I make my best music when I'm under pressure. It sounds weird, but
I get like
kind of feeling. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna go into the studio, I'm gonna make the craziest freestyle that I can. So I got in with my producer. Hey, big up Jakey every time.
One of the coldest
producers out here. I was like, yeah, this is what we got to do, and this is how we're going to make it. So every time I go studio, I have a blueprint.
Cool.
I always know what I'm going to do before I go studio. I never go studio not
knowing what you're doing.
Knowing what I'm going to do. Cool, do you get what I mean? So I told him, he was like, all right, cool, let's cook it up. And previously, before I went into the studio, right, I got my mum to shout into my phone to scream my Nigerian name. Right? I told her, I've even got the voice note on my phone. It's funny. I told her, shout into the mic and scream my name as if I'm upstairs and you need to come D-sign.
Yeah.
My mom was like, why are you asking?
what kind of rubbish is this one?
What kind of nonsense is this? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So after I told her like, don't worry about it and I'll show you after, innit? So she does it now. So I'm like, cool. Go to the
and
studio.
That's, sorry, it's good show. That's the first thing. I was crying when I heard that, you know, because it's such a, and this is what I mean when I say, like, I like the vibe that you bring, because, like, I feel like every artist should be relatable to their people, innit? I feel like there's so many people, if you're Nigerian, bro, that you must have had an experience where your mom's calling you or your dad's calling you for something stupid and they're just blasting off your name, whether it's a Nigerian, your Yoruba name, your Igbo name, whatever the case may be, innit? And it's ringing off in the house and they're calling you for sometimes important stuff, but other times it's for like dumb stuff, innit? Like, come grab the remote from you. The remote's chilling hill, something like that. So, nah, I hear it still. So, yeah, continue, sorry, bro.
Yeah, so I thought, shout on the mic. I'll show you after. Cool. Go into the studio, make the tune. I sampled Clear Soul.
Okay.
I think it's Try and You Try. That's the song that I sampled. And then I was like, all right, cool. This is good. I didn't want to make drill. And I didn't want to make just grime either.
So
I kind of fused the beat patterns of the two to make something in between, but something that you can't really name as this is what it is.
Yeah.
Made it now and then showed it to team. They went crazy for it. So I was like, cool. So the music video, we was like, gonna shoot in the house, right?
Cool. It was your crib?
That's my crib.
Okay, cool. First,
shoot in my crib. And I want my mum to be in it, obviously, because she's the one shouting my name, right? And it's all gonna be shot in one take.
Yeah.
Right? Told them that. So obviously the day of the shooting comes and, you know, it was funny because we had to rehearse
what everyone was gonna do inside the house.
It didn't take too many takes, like seven takes before we got the right one, right?
Cool.
So then obviously we managed to baff it in one take, have everyone do everything that they needed to do, had my people come down into my crib and stuff. And then the rest is history, man.
Man, let me play it, man. that's so funny, bro. That's so funny.
I will deal with all sorts of favors. Keep it clean and clean up the fakers. Aim as strong as long for the haters. I'll prove that money don't make us. Chase the dough like it owes me bread. Sell us shows with tribe on my head. Don't care if they hate us. Leave a review if you rate us. We shout all over again. It's over, my friend.
Oh, fuck off, man. Fuck off, man. Fuck off, man. What? Are you silly or something?
Hey, man. I try, man.
What?
I try my best, man.
Fucking hell.
Try, man.
Oh my goodness, bro.
Try.
Nah. I'm going back, bro. Jesus.
Free that money don't make us. Chase the dough like it owes me bread. Sell us shows with tribe on my head. Don't care if they hate us. Leave a review if you rate us. We shout all over again. It's over, my friend. Talking slick with 10 out of 10s. Baby face, a leader of men. Sleep at ghetto, you know how it gets when I hold the mic. It's thriller. Leave big crowds all tense. Don't worry what's coming. Just know I'm next. Trust MJ, he'll deal with the rest. When I build my trend, there'll be nothing left.
This
I
is
my
crazy.
Spine cause I lead like Caesar. Bare lost shoes cause they need a leader. Deny their roots and their name is PR. My flow is way better Leah. Pay AYG, don't rush the meter. Got that gas, I'm hot like a heater. Don't need guidance, don't need you either. Call me Lennon, they say I'm a dreamer.
If you're here to do business, sit down and discuss business.
There's bros in my club. Game Bay Rowdy like DC and Ux. Scorpio twins like Sherry.
Hey, if you want to listen to the rest of that, go on YouTube. Go on YouTube. I'm not giving you freebies out here, bro. Go on YouTube, bro. Run up the views. Small, fucking man. Hell, man.
Yeah, we're trying, man.
This is insane.
We're trying, man. We're trying.
This is crazy, bro.
We're trying, man.
Yeah, so from when I heard that, I said, yeah, man. I gotta know who this nigga is real quick. I gotta know who this nigga is in. So obviously, there, yeah, I pre'd your thing. I'm just like, bro, this is crazy. And I feel like, you see me in music, and those that know me, yeah, they know about how I go about my music, innit? And like, I can't resonate with an artist or even take an artist in if that feel part isn't there before the lyricism, innit? Like, I've got to be able to be like, you know when you play a song, you're just like, oh, this is cold. Like, you can't even get to the main, you can't even get to like the chorus of the song because like the build up to it is so hard because you're that invested into how it feels. So yeah, man, when I listened, I said, yeah, man, this is hard. This is hard. This is hard. And then my bro went and dropped again. He said the first time wasn't enough. You had to drop another one. So obviously now, and I knew as well because I saw you when you posted the flicks in it. And shout out to Zakiya in it. So she took pictures in it. So I said, this is gonna be hard. This is gonna be hard. What's this guy up to? What's he up to? What was the inspo behind the second single?
So I made Fearless.
Yeah, Fearless is cool.
Time ago.
Oh, swear. So that wasn't like this in the new cook up.
Nah. This was made over 5 or 6 years ago.
Swear down.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Fucking hell, bro.
Yeah, so my team pulled it out from the bag.
Yeah.
Slaps on the table. It was like, this is the song.
All right, cool. Oh, so this one wasn't like a fun one for you. This is just like, you got to get this one out.
Basically.
Yeah, fair enough. Every artist was going to go through one of
them. And obviously, when you've heard a song from 5, 6 years ago, it's going
to... It's just like... was it a bit cringy to it?
Yeah, man. I can't lie, man. I can't lie. But I was like, cool. This is what it is. So I just went... I went to go re-sing... Re-rap everything that was in there just to make it sound a lot cleaner and not as dated as it was before.
Yeah,
fair. Remixed it and stuff. And then, yeah, so behind the music video... idea is basically so On My Way was shot like a sitcom. Fearless was shot like a movie. So my favorite director is Quentin Tarantino.
Come on, man, big Quentin in the house, man.
You know what I mean,
he's so too cold.
I took influence from a movie, Pulp Fiction. So I was like,
say what one more goddamn time.
Hardest movie. So then I told my people that were coming, like, just dress all black and like have like formal wear, but not too formal. A bit of streetwear So then we took like Tarantino shots, black and white, hella grain, made it as grainy as possible.
Yeah.
And just, it was all shot in one location in just a car park in West London. Made the best out of it. Then we had it come out, you get what I mean? So that's the thing there.
This is Fearless. And again, the same thing for me. I feel like you're getting into your bag right now, man, in regards to like production. And I feel like, not to take away from any other artists who's obviously thinking about production, but I feel like you are very meticulous about your work, and I can tell that you are meticulous about your work as well. Like, I can tell that there's a lot of thought that goes into it.
Everything.
Before. Because some people sometimes, they'll just go with whims. And whims is nice sometimes. Like, you got to have that bit of spontaneity be in you. But I feel like being tactical about how you produce things as well is very, 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 very important.
Yeah.
And I think that's a product of both you, obviously, and your team. Shout out to your team. Like, you know, those that got you, and like, they see the vision as well. So, yeah, man, this is Fearless, bruv. Flipping out, man. Again.
Yeah, native. The one who wasn't supposed to win but did so anyway. Yeah. In order to be tribe, you must be fearless. Feel me? Again. Yeah.
What was the need for the gospel? Was that just based off what you were telling me from the start about your involvement with the choir, or you just wanted to sound a bit just almost like a prayer before you kill it kind of vibe.
It's actually funny how that.
Let's bow our heads in prayer real quick, fam, before I shell it off.
I wanted something that sounded. I don't know how to explain it. Like, obviously, I watch a lot of movies and stuff. Mm. You know, when someone enters the room, they haven't really got an aggressive, but they have like a grand king kind of feel to it. So I was like, I needed something that felt grand.
Yeah.
An introductory, do you get what I mean? So I watched a movie called Black Nativity with Nas.
Oh, yeah. Cold.
Someone put it from the end of the movie.
Cold.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going to use this.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Native came with the flow. Native knew where to, native knew how to grow. But it goes just to show, to be great you should drop off beef with the road. Sending all of the signs, God is saying that it will always be fine. But my mind sees nothing but L's, it dwells in the past when it comes to the girls. I typically move quite patient, when I see man I say fuck all the haters. Shout out to Adrian, when you need taste what could come to the flavours. Behaviour ain't shit to me, I don't need your sympathy or apology. I need these moments in time or something like photography. It just came to me, just wait, take it back right now, put your hand in the sky right now. If you're in beef with life right now, bro, fuck with the strife right now. Right here, do you dare ignore the flow of the sound?
This is feel good music, bro. This is feel good music, bruv. Are you crazy?
To the pounds, no pens, just typing my notes once again. Don't come with the ads, don't wanna be friends with dickhead men. Fearless, tearless, don't let the man them change your values once again. Don't let the jealous youths just come right through and damage you, my friend. Able we are to do amazing things, we easily set these trends. Hella canes are around, but we are just able men again. Fearless, tearless, don't let the man them change your values once again. Don't let the jealous youths just come right through and.
What was your message behind Fearless? Cause I can hear it, but for those that don't.
So obviously, right, obviously this song was made like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time, when I was first starting out my sound, a lot of people wanted to influence my sound at the time. And obviously, I got inspired to write that. I was like, a lot of people, you are like very talented, like regardless of whether it's music or anything like that. There's always people trying to tell them, don't do that. Or don't do it like this, that you should try it like this.
I hear it.
I don't feel like, never let other people live their dreams for you.
Facts.
So that was mainly.
Big facts, man.
The thing is, it's not even just to do it like, man, you never know why people are telling you to do certain things. It could be jealousy. Yeah. It can be spite. So.
Yeah, you got to be on your own wavelength, man. Like, you actually got to be on your own wavelength, bro. And there's no bad thing in people obviously giving you direction and offering at least a solution or way of going about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's so different to people literally telling you how to do something or basically saying that this can't run or this ain't gonna work, because you are the artist behind your own like canvas, isn't it? Like, you know what you're trying to paint, you know what you're trying to do. And for that to work, you've literally got to be, one, fearless, and two, believe in yourself. So you get, like, you got to know what you're really about. And that's just a life lesson, period. That's not even to do with music, just in general.
Yeah.
So that's a very positive message to preach, man. I can't even lie to you. Like, that's cold. And again, it goes back to this idea of that. It goes back to the idea of, like, one, apart from feel, that lyricism, innit? Because Bear Man will jump on beats and just chat shit, bruv. And sometimes you need that. There's a bit of, like, just chatting waffle, innit? That's nice. I feel like the mumble rap game is the thing that everybody really, really enjoys when it's needed. But sometimes when you want to hear a bit of like actual bars or even just a positive message or some sort of thing, something that just, it feels good, it's wholesome, like it's uplifting kind of vibe. Like,
yeah
man, that's a sound for you to tap in. And yeah, man, I don't know if we're allowed to play this next one, but Native sent me a track. So obviously me and him have talked before we're going to run this before we close. Let me just make sure the camera's still. So yeah, man. So obviously we're on the phone, whatever. Now we're just talking, you know, literally prepping up before we came to do the pod, innit? This is like 2 or 3 days, I think, ago, 2 or 3 days ago, a couple days ago, I don't know. So bro sent me a track now, and we were literally texting, and I've had to call him, because that's how mad this was, bro. God. God damn.
I know what you're going to play.
Hey, I'm not even going to say nothing, bro. You just listen to this, bro. Listen to this.
Come on, native. Got the heart of fella, face of a cutie. I'm not rich, but she still wanna do me.
Aye, fuck off. Oh, no, 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 no.
That
no,
one's
no,
gonna
no,
do no, bits no. when it comes out, man.
What?
Come on, native. Got a heart of fella, face of a cutie. I'm not rich, but she still wanna do me. My heart big, but I'm small like an Uzi. Slim and strong, and my words unruly. Truly, I love this vibe. Flow is callous, but still in time. Two green columns and one that swipe. Put a snake in her boot and my name on her thigh, that's right. Mind a fella, face of a cutie. Don't see color, but I do see coochie. Seen too much, but you will not move me. Passion comes too strong, it's 2D. Old men
that's
sick.
Enough, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. They don't need all that. They don't need all that. They don't need all that.
That one's gonna do.
What? How are you even going about? Are you putting? Is you making a music video for this one?
100%.
This is insane.
It was supposed to come out before Fearless,
and they chat to the team though. Chat to the team though.
But it made sense why? Because it's too.
I hear it. I hear it. Yeah, yeah. It's too.
Yeah.
We need something. Yeah, yeah. I hear it. Right, cool. Say no. Makes sense.
Yeah. I remember, when they told me we're not doing Fella, I was so heartbroken. And then it clicked. I was like, nah, cool, the moment ain't right now.
Ain't right now.
Because it's cold. People still at home.
Yeah.
It needs to come out summer or like end of summer when people are like kind of settling. And then it's like, bang, just come out with Fella Cutie with crazy visuals. It's a wrap, man. So rap.
Speak on that though. So you said your native, your genre is a fusion of everything. How important is, I guess, Nigerian music to you? Obviously, those that don't know Fela is like we're basically the papa of Afrobeat. Afrobeat. I say Afrobeat, not Afrobeats. Afrobeat. the original of Afrobeat, you know. How important is that having that essence to you about being, you know, from Niger and that permeating in your music? Like, what's that like?
It's the most important thing to me right now, and I'll tell you why. Because reason why this whole native thing is happening, right?
Yeah,
is I call myself native because it's about me finding out who I am and where I belong. What am I native to?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so obviously, I've divided my career into like two stages,
nice,
right. The first phase of my career is going to be native, as in where I am right now, Britain, black culture, black British music. Second phase is going to be Nigeria. Studying that place and trying to make a change as much as I possible in my home country. Not born there, can't speak Yoruba.
No, it's
nothing, but I need to do something.
I feel like sometimes it's even more important for those who... those that know me know I grew up in Nigeria, but I feel like it's even more important for those who didn't grow up in Nigeria to be able to still have that connection to back home. I feel like making the effort to at least want to have that connection is so much more important and valued than those who don't want to make that connection.
100%.
So shout out to you for at least wanting to still stay in touch with your roots and know where you're from and be invested. And I feel like when you go into that discovery, go into that bag of Nigerian music and like deep, not even like music as a whole, but just looking for inspiration. And like things that you can pick apart, like you're gonna find yourself like digging for time, bro, because only God knows the kind of stuff that you're gonna come across when it comes to like Nigerian music and like different genres within Nigerian music. Afrobeat, there's even like a Nigerian R&B, bro. There's a whole like I think obviously everyone knows us for Afrobeat, isn't it? But like there's so many different genres. Even Olté in like Niger is so big as well, bro. Like, people are really, really invested. But when you go digging in them crates for like the feel, the sound, your things you to pop still, can't lie. Your things you to pop still, man.
It's gonna be a crazy journey.
Your things you to pop. But yeah, man, before we go, just the chance for you to plug yourself, let everybody know what you got going on, where they can find you, where you're gonna be, Because, boy, for those that don't know, fam, you got to get to know, bro. Can't lie to you. You have to know. I'm going to force feed you, man. I'm going to force feed you, man, native for the next couple of months, bro. Because this guy is too cold, bro, not to go unnoticed, bro. Too cold.
Love. Yes, native is my name. If you want to find me on Instagram, that's _.native. NATIVE.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's the only place where you need to see me, Instagram, and then you'll find everything from there.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man, this is Real Soulful episode 96 or 97. I go double check, man. It's been a while still. but yeah, man, we are live. We're back. Shout out to you for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it, man.
It's an honor. Gang.
But yeah, man, that's Real Soulful episode 97, and that is a wrap.